Well, our guest today is Thomas Horn, a nationally recognized lecturer, author, and businessman who has served 25 years in Christian ministry. He's a well-known speaker, researcher, and freelance writer. He's appeared on numerous radio and television programs nationwide, including Art Bell's Coast to Coast and Pat Robertson's 700 Club. Tom Horn, welcome to American Freedom News.
Well, thank you for inviting me on your program, Rick.
Well, we're glad to have you here, and I'm looking at your bio, and I see that you live in the Sisters, Oregon region. What a beautiful place to live.
Yes, it is a beautiful place to live. We've fallen in love with it. We are probably going to build a retirement home here.
Well, I can't fault you for that. Tom, you have written a number of various articles, and you've been speaking in the past about some of the messages that are hidden in the most popular movies that Hollywood is turning out for the American public. Let's go through some of these movies. What are the messages that are inside Star Wars?
The thing that I find that's interesting, the underlying theme, if you will, and in particular with your program today, talking about how these films may be affecting the philosophical belief systems of this current generation. With all of these films, I find that there is this kind of an underlying New Age idea that we are not alone in the universe, and more importantly, that the biblical view of God and creation, as defined within scriptures, is an idea that's progressively becoming outdated. You know, this week they just released this new Harry Potter movie, and that's the thing that seems to be on everybody's mind. And of course, I do believe that these Harry Potter films are being used to popularize witchcraft. But if you look at statistics across the nation right now, with the Sci-Fi Channel doing this special edition on Roswell, with Steven Spielberg putting out his new upcoming series called Taken, some of the polling companies that are out there right now are drawing up polls that have some frightening statistical evidence that a growing population, if you will, both in the U.S. and globally, are reacting in a way that says they believe that there is something to this galactic family idea that is propagated in these films that we mentioned a moment ago. In the
film. And I think these polls that you're talking about, I've seen some of these polls, Tom, and I know that they mentioned a substantial portion of the American public says that they believe that there are ETs that have visited the Earth. And even more troubling was the poll number that said that the majority of Americans said that if there is a revelation that extraterrestrials have visited the Earth, or they do come back and make an appearance on the Earth, it would not change their religious beliefs.
Which tells you that more and more people are modifying the historical idea of Christianity to adapt to concepts that are coming through popular media, including the films.
But Tom, what's Hollywood telling the public through these science fiction movies about their ancestry, their origins, creation?
Well, two things are happening. One, like in The Matrix, we find these parodies of the life of Christ, kind of all mixed up in a montage of biblical metaphors and references and personalities and so on, mingled in with this soup of Eastern religions, ideas, and Baha'i spirituality. So the one thing that we are being told is that the historicity of the Bible and of our idea, our Western Judeo-Christian idea of creation and where we came from, if you will, is really only one fragment of a larger truth, that all of these ancient mythos point back to a time when man was produced as a result of these intergalactic scientists, if you will, tinkering with hominid DNA and creating creatures like you and I. In fact, the film Mission to Mars that I wrote an editorial on, Disney actually fictionalized that the face on Mars, the face at Cydonia, was indeed an alien artifact that pointed back to a time when these aliens established a base very near Earth, where they built this pyramidal sphinx-like community from which they were traversing back and forth the planet Earth in order to conduct those experiments. And then, of course, the mother of all of these films that is promoting this idea is the Star Wars series, in which we have this mixture of New Age philosophy and biblical metaphorisms that seem to be preaching that, in fact, we are all part of a cosmic family. and that we are only now maturing to the point of realizing the antiquated and outdated mythology of the Bible, or at least the constrained mythology, mythos of the Bible.
And we're finding out that the inspiration for the Star Wars movies for George Lucas was Aleister Crowley, a very wicked man who passed away in the 1950s in Great Britain, who was a devoted Satanist.
Right. Well, look, just peel back for a moment. My wife and I, not long ago, we watched the next of the last Star Wars film, The Phantom Menace. And I was so taken in that film by the blatant theft, if you will, of biblical Christ analogies that I sat down and wrote the editorial for RaidersNewsUpdate.com called Star Wars Film Promotes New Age Messiah. That editorial just rocketed across the internet. It was reproduced by a lot of people, and eventually New Man magazine contacted me and interviewed me for their feature cover story that came out a while back in May or so, about what is actually being taught in these Star Wars films. What's motivating George Lucas? What is the point that he's trying to make? And I'll just rehearse very quickly for you some of the points that I made to New Man magazine. When you look at these Star Wars films, first of all, the Jedi are the central object of the film, and these Jedi are nearly exact duplicates of what's called the New Age Ascended Masters theology. These Jedi are in tune with the Force, and I'm not the first person to have noticed that what Daniel said about the coming of the Antichrist, that he will be a worshiper of the God of Forces. These Jedi in The Phantom Menace, however, are looking forward to a prophesied Redeemer who is going to bring balance to the Force. Well, lo and behold, in this film, the Promised One appears, and guess what? He's born of a virgin. However, his name is Anakin, which in Hebrew means the sons of Anak, and refers, many people believe, to giants who were supernaturally conceived of Satan or demons, according to some people's interpretation of biblical and extra-biblical histories, and it at least ties into the ancient astronaut theory that we are the result of these Anakin, which were a creation of aliens tinkering with hominid DNA. In this film, Anakin's Jedi master is a man by the name of Qui-Gon Jinn. Now, Qui-Gon is a branch of Taoism that teaches how to interact with and utilize the universal energies, so-called, that exist within and around us. The second part of his name, Jinn, of course, is Muslim for the demons that inhabit the air. Now, this Qui-Gon Jinn, in the film, he believes that Anakin is, in fact, the Promised One, the Christ of their prophecy, who's going to bring harmony to the Force. And he proclaims that belief in a way that's very similar to what John the Baptist did of Jesus Christ. A little bit later in the film, there's a scene where Anakin stands before the Jedi Council, just like Jesus did before the temple priests, and we hear words that are almost an exact quotation from Matthew 11:3, which says, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we wait for another?" The point in this film is very strong that is made, that is, just as Jesus redeemed us by his blood, midichlorians in Anakin's blood are unlike anything seen in any human before, and they make him special, they make him a redeemer. Those similarities literally just go on and on and on, and occasionally I'll go back and add a few more of those to the story that I originally wrote for Raiders News Update. But to cut through all of that and just get to the bottom line, the point that was so troubling to me in that particular Star Wars film was that, unlike Jesus, who never turned to the dark side when he was tempted, Anakin, in fact, does give in to the dark side for the majority of his life and only turns back at the end. And I think that makes for a dangerous irony in these Star Wars films, because here's the message that is being sent. The Savior will ultimately become Anakin Skywalker, or the son of Anak, Darth Vader, which implies that the one that we have always perceived of as being evil, or Satan, will ultimately become our Savior in the end. And to me, that just, I mean, call me over conservative, that sounds like either a glorification of satanic power, or it sounds like a setup before the coming of Antichrist.
So, Thomas, that's what I was going to ask you. Through these Hollywood movies, Satan is giving the message to the American public, I am really your father, and in time you're going to come to recognize me as your father.
That's right, that there is coming a time, in fact, when you are going to recognize me as your father. And so I think I read some statistics lately that not only show that something like 76% of Americans now believe in the possibility of life on other planets, and something like almost 50% believe not only could they exist, they've actually visited the Earth and interacted with humanity. Those are amazing and startling statistics. And I read a related story that said that this generation of young people, something like kids that are under 17 years of age, that more of those kids will be influenced directly, philosophically influenced, by the messages that are being taught in the Star Wars film series than the number of people 17 and younger who will be influenced by pulpits and Sunday schools throughout America. Well, when we know that that's true, that that's statistically a fact that we now live with, I think it becomes the duty of Christians and Jews and conservatives and media ministries such as yours to point out the potential danger of the subtle occultic and cosmic overture, if you will, of these facts to parents and families that are within our reach of influence. Now, there are those who see a much greater conspiracy than what I have ever pointed out. I read a piece by Barrett Kajos not long ago called Star Wars Joins United Religions at the Presidio. And Barrett was talking, of course, about the old military base, the Presidio in San Francisco, that's being used these days as a model, I guess, for developing a community model for a sustainable society. And at the Presidio, as I'm sure you know, you have George Lucas's Skywalker Ranch and Lucasfilm Studios and Lucas Learning LTD. You also have Gorbachev's Foundation. You have the United Religions Initiative. You have the Thoreau Center for Sustainability. All of these share this earth-friendly goal, if you will, towards creating a global civilization based in part on New Age universal beliefs and morality. And people like Barrett believe that George Lucas and those who influence his thinking are actively involved in far more than just arts and entertainment. That they are, in fact, using their resources and influences in order to change our society, to willfully change the society from a one-time Christian society to a new world order and a new global religion based on a revival of ancient earth-centered paganism, and that it is that dynamic or force, if you will, that is actually speaking to the underlying motive of these movies and raises the question, are these UFO, alien abduction, alien contact, ancient astronaut, whatever, films successfully promoting a new kind of global religion? And statistically, the answer to that seems to be becoming yes.
Thomas, I've personally interviewed some of the leading UFO activists, those who would have a high degree of respectability in their research and their presentations, and they all of them are unanimous in the belief that we are very close to what they call the disclosure event, which in their terminology is that the governments of the world are sometime in the very near future going to hold a major press conference and announce to the world that yes, the world has been visited numerous times by UFOs, and the governments have been in contact with aliens. Now, they're convinced that this event is coming very soon. It appears, from what you're saying about these movies like Star Wars, that Hollywood is, and Hollywood is riddled with Satanists and people who despise the gospel of Jesus Christ. It appears that Hollywood is using the propaganda of the movies to psychologically prepare the public to accept these UFOs and the space aliens. In fact, I have in front of me right now a Roper poll that says 3 out of 4, 74% of Americans claim that they are somewhat psychologically prepared for an official government announcement regarding the discovery of extraterrestrial life.
Mm-hmm.
3/4 of the American public, according to this poll, say they're ready for it.
Well, and as to whether I believe that that there is a willful participation on the part of Hollywood moguls and persons who are the producers, if you will, of this kind of popular media, I can't say whether they are in fact willfully participating in a campaign to indoctrinate this generation. What I can say is that the films that they are creating, it could be, I mean, I don't want to over-spiritualize all of this, it could be they're not even aware that they are puppets of a much more powerful ancient spiritual force that is hostile to the God of the Bible. And that there is, perhaps, a soon-to-be-announced great deception that could, in fact, be used to damage an enormous number of people's faith in the gospel as we know it. And, you know, the fact that their films are being successful can't be disputed. The statistic I read was 76%. The Roper statistic you just read, poll, was 74%. It's lingering right there. About two-thirds of the population believe in this. They're ready for it. I read a Register news story just here, I don't know, a few months ago that was referring once again to how the Jedi Knight actually received official recognition as a religion in the United Kingdom's census of 2001.
Actually, it was in Australia. So many people voluntarily declared themselves Jedis that Australia had to recognize the Jedis as an official religion in the country of Australia.
Right.
Hey, Thomas, I know we only have a few minutes here, and I wanted to ask you about two other movies you've written about. One, The Matrix, and the other one, The Mummy. Well, briefly, what can you tell us about the messages in those two movies?
Well, of course, the messages of those two movies are very similar. In the article that I wrote, Who is the Matrix Oracle?, I pointed out these parodies of the life of Christ. And just as Jesus was born of a virgin, Neo, who is the hero of the Matrix, his name Neo is from Neo-Orthodox, and he is literally this messianic figure who is born, once again, without an earthly mother. His last name is Anderson, which is Son of Man, which, of course, is a New Testament title of Christ. One of the other primary figures in the film, Coy, refers to Neo saying, "Hallelujah, you are my Savior, man, my own personal Jesus Christ." This Neo and his disciples in the film are on their way to a city called Zion. They're led by a man by the name of Morpheus, whose name is a combination of Morph, which means to change, and Orpheus, the great Thracian hero and poet whose music was so-called capable of taming Hades and of striking deep fear in the hearts of the denizens of the kingdom of darkness. The ship that they're traveling in is the Nebuchadnezzar. In this film, there's a Judas-like character named Cypher, which is a short for Lucifer, who betrays Neo and sells him and his followers, disciples out, just like in the New Testament narrative. Neo, the hero of the story, is killed in this film, and then he rises from the dead 3 minutes later, just like Jesus rose from the dead after 3 days. Neo in the film is resurrected from the dead by a kiss from his girlfriend Trinity, and of course Jesus was resurrected by the power of the Trinity. After the resurrection, Neo's power becomes ultimate. The enemy can't overcome him, just like Jesus rose from the dead having ultimate power over the enemy. After this resurrection, Neo's body is changed. He becomes glorious without earthly limitations, and then he ascends into the sky, just like Jesus rose from the dead with a glorious body and ascended into the heavens. Neo, at the end of the film, warns the enemy that he is going to deliver mankind, just like Jesus promised to return and to conquer the enemies of man. Neo's appearance as the promised one, including his death and resurrection in the film, is predicted by an oracle, which turns out to be a middle-aged woman. Just like the death and resurrection of Jesus was prophesied in the Bible, and according to the scriptures, the Bible itself is an oracle. And so, once again, we find very popular film, extremely popular, taking these parodies of the life of Christ and then intermingling them, because if you follow the film, what's actually happened is that the earth at one time was invaded by invaders from outside of Earth, space invaders, who took over and began to control humanity. And now what the subtle message there is that those of us who believe the biblical story of creation have been duped by much more powerful forces, which, as you said a moment ago, probably are going to be revealed at some time in the near future.
So we come back to the same message again.
Over and over and over again. Listen.
That God is not our father. Lucifer is our father. The aliens who visited the Earth thousands of years ago really are our creators. And we have all been duped by religion into believing the Bible. That's the message in all these movies.
Let me tell you something. Dr. Daniel Noel, who is the professor of liberal studies in religion and culture at Norwich University in Montpelier, Vermont, he wrote an article here a year ago or so, and the article was called Why the X-Files is Becoming Our New Religion. And in this article, he pointed out that more and more people, and of course he wrote this a year ago, and now it turns out it's pretty prophetic, that he pointed out that people are embracing this X-Files UFO-related kind of belief system. But his warning was that it is and will transplant traditional faith in the United States. Well, interestingly, shortly after his treatise was published, the high official of the Vatican, Monsignor Corrado Balducci, who's the Vatican's representative for the study of extraterrestrials, he sat down with ufologist Zachariah Sitchin, and they discussed the issue of extraterrestrials and the creation of man. And what they concluded was astounding, and I'll read you this quote. This is part of their conclusion. Quote, extraterrestrials can and do exist on other planets. They can be more advanced than we. And materially, man could have been fashioned from a pre-existing sentient being, end quote. Well, of course, Sitchin, you know, with all of his Earth Chronicle books, he very much believes that extraterrestrials spoken of by the Sumerians as Anunnaki began visiting the Earth about 500,000 years ago, and that some 300,000 years ago they began tinkering with hominid DNA and they created Homo sapiens. Well, concerning that idea that man originated following an encounter with alien beings, the High Vatican representative did not discount Sitchin's Anunnaki Nephilim theory, and in fact he seemed to support it, saying this, and I'll finish with this quote. He says, I can bring up the view of the great theologian Professor Father Markov, who is still alive and is greatly respected by the Church, who formulated the hypothesis that when God created man and put the soul into him, perhaps what is meant is not that man was created from mud or lime, but from something pre-existing, even from a sentient being capable of feeling and perception. So the idea of taking a pre-man or hominid and creating someone who is aware of himself is something that Christianity is coming around to, end quote. And so I think that the ancient astronaut theory that is espoused by evidently a growing number of people today, including evidently traditional Christians, is something that cannot be denied. It is catching on. Statistics and polling data prove it to be true. And to me, it opens the door for the introduction of great deception, of paranormal activity, and even lends an academic, if you will, support to the subtle New Age idea that's being propagated within popular media and movies like The Matrix and Star Wars and so on, that suggests, among other things, that the biblical story of creation is a lie and that pretty soon all of us are going to have our eyes opened and awakened to the new reality of who God is and where we came from.
Thomas, the Bible warns us that in the last days that the deception will be so great that even the elect of God could be deceived. And I've often speculated about what type of deception, what would it be? What would be so overwhelming that even church members, pastors, people that have been in the faith for a long time would actually begin to be overwhelmed by the revelation of some type of news? And I keep coming back to this disclosure event, that if the world leaders walk out into the stage of the United Nations, and with them, imagine the President of the United States, the President of Russia, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, the Secretary General of the United Nations, and they walk out onto the stage on live television being carried worldwide, and with them is an extraterrestrial who addresses the world. Thomas, we can't even fathom in our minds the deception that will sweep over the planet.
And for those reasons, Christians need to be strong in faith and strong in the Word and careful about what they allow their minds to entertain as fact. And another thing, Christian leadership had better be ready if this happens. That's pure speculation. It might not ever happen. But there sure seems to be a lot of momentum that direction, doesn't there? And if it does happen, then Christian leaders had better be ready to respond to it, and I think in a way that is conservative and that maintains the faith that was handed down from the time of Christ through the forefathers and to us today. I'm reading on the Internet this morning. I read the Internet news every morning. By the way, I always read your website, too. Very good information. A lot of times I pass that information along to Raiders News Update readers. But Richard Hoagland has another whole huge page of deciphering these different images on Mars and so on. And his belief is that when this disclosure period you're referring to comes, that Cydonia, that the Mars space, the pyramids on Mars, or what appears to be man-made structures, artificial structures on Mars, that that's all going to be part of this huge disclosure. And what I pointed out a while back in an editorial that I wrote was that let's imagine for a moment that that happens. Let's say that they actually uncover ancient pyramidal structures, human-like faces, sphinxes, whatever, in Cydonia on Mars, and that this is part of the physical evidence, and that these things are ancient structures. How is the church ready, if that happens, how is the church ready to respond to those issues? And I would say that if that does happen, to me, it would be looked at through the prism of some of the most ancient biblical texts, which refers to the stones of fire in Ezekiel chapter 28 and similar verses, that could be a physical proof, if you will. The Bible talks about Ezekiel's reference to Lucifer moving up and down amidst the stones of fire, and some scholars believe that that's talking about the one-time glorious angel's dominion over the planetary belt, including perhaps Mars. Well, if that's true, then that might suggest to us that if remains of a past civilization are found on Mars or some other planet, such remains could provide physical support. Physical support for the Bible's account of prehistoric cosmic war and the subsequent expulsion of Lucifer and his angel from out of the heavens. So I think that from a scholarly approach, these issues need to be looked at and prepared for. Even if the probability of this may be minimal, if our eyes are wide open, there is momentum towards something. And I think devout men and women of God need to spend some time both in meditation and on their knees addressing these issues, because God has promised that if we do that, then our eyes will be open.
And we'll conclude it by just saying that if we do arrive at this so-called disclosure event, and the world leaders tell us that there are extraterrestrial visitors to the planet, don't believe it. Stand on the Word of God. Don't be moved. Don't be swept up by the deception. It is simply a sign that the end is near, that Jesus Christ is ready to return to this earth for his remnant church. But it's also a sign that the Antichrist is ready to make his appearance on the planet, and billions of people are going to be swept up into the deception of this one world, one government, one religious system that is quickly being put together right in front of our eyes. Thomas, we are out of time. I could go on for a long time talking to you. We'll have to schedule you to come back on in the future. I still wanted to get to talk about the Mummy and the Mission to Mars and some other movies, but this has been a fascinating interview, and I appreciate you taking time to be with us today on American Freedom Is.
Well, thank you, Rick, for inviting me on your program.